Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome back to Dark Florida. This episode is a really special one because this past week has marked one full year of this wild, spooky, and beautiful journey with all of you. When I first started Dark Florida, I had no idea how many incredible listeners, researchers, and experiencers would come along for the ride. Every download, every message, every story that you've shared with me, it has meant the world. And to everyone who supported me, encouraged me, and believed in this little corner of weirdness that we've created together, all I can say is thank you. You're the reason that this show exists, and you're the reason that it's growing. Trust me, the next chapter of Dark Florida is going to be even wilder. We have new guests coming, new investigations, new mysteries, and some very cool things planned for 2026. But before we get to that, be sure to follow along on Instagram at Dark Florida Podcast for everything happening behind the scenes and subscribe to our YouTube at youtube.com/@DarkFlorida411. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so at buymeacoffee.com/DarkFlorida. And if you have your own story to share or would like to be a guest on the show, feel free to email me at darkfloridapodcast@gmail.com. And be sure, wherever you're listening, to drop a 5-star review and share the show with a friend. It really helps. Now, today's episode, I sat down with Leon Bowski, numerologist and creator of Sacred Geometry Numerology, for a conversation that goes deep. We talk about the architecture of the soul, the patterns behind our lives, and the frequency hidden within our birth numbers. We explore sacred geometry and the coming age of Aquarius, and what the next few years may bring us energetically, both collectively and individually. So settle in, turn down the lights, open your mind, and join me for this episode of Dark Florida. Welcome back to Dark Florida. I'm so excited to have you here tonight. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
We actually got to meet at an event down in Fort Myers, and you did a numerology reading on me, and it just really deeply resonated. For the listeners who don't know, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm almost 80, which surprises a lot of people because they usually peg me about 20 years younger. So, but what that means is I've done a lot in a lot of different decades. Starting off, I was a survival instructor. I've got 9 years in the military. Went through the counterculture in the 60s, where we learned a lot about what is now normalized and allowing for us to learn a lot more, raise families. I've got a 22 in my chart, so I started businesses, started a couple of restaurants, one by myself, one with some other people, and, you know, kept teaching yoga. I got into yoga early, and I'm still teaching. So that's been consistent and helped inform me about a lot. Been an avid reader. A lot of us got into astrology. And for some reason, my brain took me into this direction of numerology. And a lot of what I've done, like a lot of what happened in the 60s, it just came to me. I'm channeling this information. I didn't go to 4 years of college or take so many hours to get what I have. And I've created something that has been 100% accurate and is very helpful for people at this time. I was thinking about this yesterday. We call it hidden, occult, esoteric, but it's fundamental reality that is not lost on it, like first world people, indigenous people, and nobody throughout history, there's always been people that haven't lost that connection. The idea that things work and in a certain systematic way in the universe that's actually measurable and understandable. And that one of the ways that we understand it is through symbology. Even though it's mathematics, just like you and I talking on the phone or the computer, that there's a binary code at play, strict mathematics, but we're interpreting through different devices so that it comes in as language or whatever. So that's the same thing that happens in astrology, numerology, any of those symbolic sciences. When we're talking about numerology, we're talking about geometry. And geometry is how the universe functions, how it builds, and how energy moves in certain predictable ways. The sacred geometry, easily understood from a metaphysical concept, that what we call the one or source or whatever we prefer to think of it is a center that's everywhere with no circumference. And each existence, everything that exists and has life, has a center. And that's the basis of sacred geometry. It's a center with a circumference. Every cell in our body, every galaxy, each one of us, we have a center and an energetic field around us. So the science of numerology is looking at the frequencies. I have been able to take that science, put it into sacred geometry, where you can see a narrative, a story about the quarters of a person's life, the journey that they're on, the energy they have to fulfill their destiny, and what that destiny is. Very accurately. So, like I said, there was no way I could have learned it. It had to appear.
How did your path into numerology begin? And what was the moment that you realized that those numbers carried that deeper meaning?
I haven't seen anybody else do what I've done. What Brooke guided me was coming out of the 60s, it wasn't part of American culture, Western culture to be taught. But we learned about mandalas, and somebody wrote a book, Jose Aguiles, about mandalas. And then when we get introduced to Tibetan art and Eastern arts, we become more familiar with mandalas and yantras and things like that. And I have my own intelligence, and I thought about the reality that the astrologies put in the circle, the feminine, the Wiccan circles put in the feminine. The medicine wheel is put in the feminine. So you have the ritual going on, but you also have it contained, just like we were describing about sacred geometry, within a circumference, a circle. So I wanted to do that. And then, you know, kind of like magic, if that's not the right word, but I realized the circumference of the circle was 120, just like saying we're going to run a 10K race, or we're going to cut a board at 6 feet. The human lifespan is 120. Not how long an individual lives, that's our biological lifespan. And once I understood that as a circumference and divided it into the four quarters, then I immediately recognized that 30, 60, and 90 were your approximate Saturn returns. And you had the four quarters. You had the youth part of life up till 30, and then you have adult, then you have midlife, and then you, on the other side, you have the senior years, the fall, and then finally elderly when life coalesces. And so it was something that made sense to me, and I started doing numerology and applying it to the chart, and it started teaching me, because it's a device that measures things. So I can see a lot by putting a person's numerology into that chart that I created, which is sacred geometry. It's a spiral. It's a spiral, just like you have a spiral in a 28-day cycle of the moon or a woman's cycle. It's a cycle going from the beginning of a person coming into existence, the energy they have, then the energy they have to build the life that they're supposed to live. And then you have the energy of your wisdom years when you can correct things and actually bring it up to a higher frequency. And then finally, how you would like to see your life fulfilled. And if I remember right, you had a 33, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. And I read, just to, you know, not go off course, but I was telling you before we started that I did a lot of readings this weekend in Tampa, and there were so many 11s. I mean, that's the number of the new age, and it's just like birds of a feather type of reality. So many people had 11s. And there are people popping up now with 33 as a life path number. And it's a very special number. It's similar to a six, where three and three would reduce to a six, but it's on a higher frequency. And as we can talk about healing the planet, people with that six and 33 energy are healers, whatever way they want to choose or how much they want to choose to use that energy. But there's a capacity to fulfill a destiny of what we would call loving kindness, love plus compassion. So that's a special job. A true expression of love is not to try and dominate a person or control a person, but just to allow that person to be who they are and to be that presence for a person where they feel safe and they can grow. So yeah, I think that's really special.
It felt like the chart you did for me recently really resonated just so deeply. Do you find that people are surprised when the numerology hits so accurately?
I never know what to expect. And honestly, Brooke, I'd like to share this. I don't know who's going to get this. If I said thought of a demographic, there is none. It would be, I know certain groups of people that they really can tune into a certain message. Same thing when I was a yoga instructor. But the people, the souls that this is something pertinent for and they really get it, I never know. They don't have to be of my nationality, my gender, my age group. It just really crosses the board. One that I have to think about, kind of surprised, because sometimes things happen that are quite unique. Another vendor said somebody you did a reading for was incredibly touched, and you know, it was profound for him. And I knew who it was. And it's a bit of a little story, but the person's girlfriend had committed suicide 3 weeks previously. And they weren't very familiar with psychic fairs and readers and what we call the mysteries or whatever. And I did his numerology, and there was a one in this, I think his third quarter. And I said, that's about new beginnings. You're going to have a new beginning. And he said, And then he told me the story of what had happened to him and that he was having to start his life from not having a partner, and everything is a new start now. So I don't know who's going to come. I don't know if revealing what a person knows inside to them, where it's mirrored back to them, how that's going to affect a person. I've had people cry a lot, just like in massage, when it's a relief to look in the mirror and go, oh, that's who I really am. Some people are horribly oppressed, whether it's by someone else or by themselves. And so, yeah, those things do happen where it really has a strong impact on people.
When you create a chart, what information are you looking at first? How do you get someone's soul path number?
Well, here's what it's really about. It's a measurement, like I said, of geometric function. So that has never changed. 1 through 9, very primary. And then they do have these, what they have referred to in the past as master numbers. Anything that we look at has a sum. If you go to a website, that's nothing but a binary code, masculine, feminine, positive, negative. It could be 20,000, 20 million digits long. But whatever the sum of those digits are, that's where you end up. So that's the same thing that's happening doing a person's numerology. You can take a name, you can take an address, you can take how many steps it is to the bathroom. Everything is going to have a meaning to it in the context of numerology. In the context of what we would call a natal chart, like in astrology, that's what I do. And that's why when I do someone's chart, I tell them this isn't a reading and that what you would consider a reading, but this is a lifetime understanding of those four quarters of a person's life. So what I do is this has been based entirely forever on a person's birthday, because you're coming in on a certain day, which has a certain frequency, just like a combination lock. And that's what a lot of symbology is, Brooke. It's like knowing the right combination. What's inside that locker is going to be the same, but you can put different locks on it with different combinations. So the day we're born on, there's a particular combination of frequencies that our soul has come in with to journey on. Just like when a child's born, and you're born to particular parents for the same reason. And we either did or did not, you know, get nourished by our parents, our mothers, or whatever. And that sets the course of life. Like I was hearing that when the child gets colostrum, that remains in that child, in each individual's immune system for the rest of their lives. So you're coming in at a particular frequency. And I can take the month, day, year, and what that adds up to, and I can put that into the chart that I make. And it will give you a map the same way as having a map of West Palm Beach, where I am, or a map of Golden Lakes Village, where I am. How we populate that map, that's why we're here. The world's a stage. We're each a character. We've got a certain limitation of props and settings, but we are the ones with our own intention. And the I am presence that's in each one of us are going to create the character of who we are. So the people that are going to actually invest money are the ones that get it. So, but yeah, there is always that potential. I thought about that in the context of there's people with autoimmune diseases. There's people who have directed their own bodies to turn against themselves. We all have a certain amount of self-obliterating behavioral patterns. That, I think, is what I've come to understand recently. Everything's on a spectrum. So we're all OCD, we're all bipolar, we're all schizophrenic, we're all everything. But some of us are at 0, some of us at 100. My clearest, easiest understanding of that kind of way of looking at things is, and I use this guy's name a lot, but Jesus, the information that comes through the words that this man used is the same information that we need going into the Aquarian age. And he represented the heart. And this is kind of going off subject a little bit. But if you look at your body in context of energy, there's the lower triangle, lower three chakras. Then there's the upper triangle, the upper three chakras, and in between is the heart. So if the heart's not open, there's not a connection made. But anyway, he described things as love or fear. So if a person's on a end of the spectrum that's love-based, then it's going to personify a certain way. If they're on the end of the spectrum that's fear-based, then it's going to personify a different way. Ozzy Osbourne, I don't know if I mentioned this to you when I saw you. Ozzy Osbourne and Sinead O'Connor died when I was in Britain, and it had a tremendous impact on the British psyche. And I did their numerology. I don't usually look at celebrities. They had exactly the same numerology in the first half of their lives, and they both came in with three energy. And if you think of three as just the simple, the triangle, the child, the third dimension, it's very innocent, positive energy. And so they both came in with three energy, and they were both individually horribly abused by their parents. So the way that they behaved in the second quarter of their lives, irrespective of what that energy was acting out, was coping mechanisms, was self-destructive. But then eventually, as both of them lived long enough, that initial vibration frequency of that three energy became apparent and more apparent, to where when Ozzy died, it was like the Prince of Darkness was the Prince of Light. When he died, that's what happens to people. Abuse in Buddhism, abuse follows suffering, follows abuse. My mother abused me. She suffered. And then you can go back. So we're at a time in history when a lot of things are happening to all of us simultaneously. And one of them is clearing out those negative behavioral patterns of abuse and suffering. So yeah, people can be, the energy itself is always positive. When the one, whatever we, again, this is trying to put language onto something that has no language, but when the one divides, it says in the Vedas, into energy and consciousness. We know from physics, which quantum physics is proving what the ancients knew, and we can call it yoga, we can call it different, the occult sciences, we can call it whatever we want. But energy is never diminished. It only changes form. So the same thing with consciousness. Like you and I are conscious right now. Is it measurable? Can it be less? Can it be more? It's always going to be complete. So we can completely express ourselves with pure consciousness and energy, or we're seeing that there's a lot of damage in people's psyches. But what I bring this back to is what we call the Great Flood and what created the modern age that we're living in, era that we're living in. After the Ice Age and the Great Flood and all that disruption, that was a catastrophe that wiped out a lot. So there's an understanding that a lot of us are dealing with a catastrophic psyche. We're waiting for something catastrophic to happen. So with that kind of fear base in us, for whatever reason, it's very hard then to direct our I am consciousness towards our children are going to live in a completely pure world where the air is pure, the water is pure, the earth is pure, the energy that we use is pure, because we're creating everything. We're dreaming this awake. But if we have been scared to death in the past, then it becomes something that I think that we're dealing with. But we're at a time right now where we're coming out of the darkness, I think.
Yeah. Well, you bring up being scared, and I find myself, I would be dishonest if I didn't say that I see the headlines and I do worry about what the state of the world will be. I mean, you see these different things every day, and it just it is hard to keep that hope. How do you recommend combating some of that fear? Because you're right, it's just pushed and pushed and pushed onto our psyches. And they have been so damaged by these just big global tragic events that have impacted a nation.
Yeah, that's why it's happening right now. I think that it has to get this dark for the light to be seen. It doesn't have to be that way, but it is that way. It's a reality. I don't know. I wish I had more answers about why this dimension and what's happening on Earth has happened like it has. But from the 60s, we were shown a vision that this isn't the first time that this has happened to the human family. And Bashar talks about different upgrades. Yogi Bhajan, who was my yoga teacher, a founder of Kundalini Yoga, he talked about how we've destroyed ourselves in the past. Understanding of Atlantis, which isn't that long ago, was about a civilization that destroyed itself through technology. What has come out of the 60s, and I lived through all this, so I feel pretty well informed about it. Back to Mother Earth. You can't have a child born to two men or two women organically, just like the one separates into the two. Heaven and earth, light and dark, male and female. That's the polarity that creates things that comes back together. So things have gotten too far in out of balance. And the feminine energy is the love energy. The masculine energy is the wisdom, consciousness energy. So we have a very strong desire to know things, and we also have a strong desire to feel a connection to things. And why things have happened to Mother Earth, which we are connected to in the way that it is right now, I think we can postulate about and understand, but the reality is that it is what it is. The children are living in a toxic playground. Who in their right mind would do that? It's totally insane. Certain things that have been normalized that are horrible, that's beyond belief. That's where you and I met. Charlie's beyond belief. But yeah, that's how I look at it. If you're sane and you look at those things and you go, that's beyond belief. So the path that I've been on for 40, 50 years, what it's led me to, what I've had to go through. And it's interesting that we're talking about this because I heard this from Aaron Abke, who I've also become affiliated with. He talks about Yeshua, the true Jesus, and what Jesus said. And he said, if you look at what Jesus said when he was resurrected, when he appeared to the disciples, he didn't say, believe in me, any of that. He said, you have to atone. You have to ask for forgiveness and go through that whole process of making things right. And that's what resurrection is. So we've poisoned the earth. We've poisoned the water. We've poisoned the food that the children eat. We've poisoned all of that. It's got to stop. And we're the ones to stop it. And there are very identifiable ways to do that. And we're all conscious of it. We've all been on that path since the 60s. That's the culture that people have normalized now. Why we even have psychic fairs, Whole Foods, farmers markets, natural childbirth, all that comes out of that same return back to Mother Earth. So the only life that you and I get, other than from the air or from the sunlight, the only life that we're going to get from the planet is coming from living soil and living plants.
Right. Do you believe that global events like the awakenings that you're speaking of, and even some of those conscious shifts or societal collapse, do you think that they correlate with numerical cycles or those higher patterns?
Oh, yeah. And I think that's what's really made things extremely difficult, but also very exciting, because we're not only going through what scientists know is this 2,160-year progression, but we've also completed a cycle of a 21,000-year progression. The whole precession of the equinoxes that takes, I can't remember if it's 21 or 26,000 years, that wobble that we have, that's coming back to an origin point. So everything is cycles within cycles. So a couple of really major time, very long time cycles are coming back to a point of origin. What we're seeing right now, what we think reality is going to be obliterated. What the future is now has nothing to do with anything we're thinking. Like, to give you an idea of how this is beginning, like I told you, I'm 80, so I've lived through a lot of decades. And any child that's born since 1969, which probably includes you, you're already in the space age. No one before 1969 was in the space age. We were in the provincial age. We were in what city, what town, what state, country do you come from? Now, since we've gone and explored space and we've got, you know, all these satellites up there that are allowing us to communicate like we are right now, everybody's already in the space age. And with the artificial intelligence that we have now, we're already playing around with what in metaphysics is called the Akashic Record. The Akashic Record is like an inexhaustible library of everything that's ever happened and will happen. And so the only thing that limits AI is what it is exposed to, the library that it can interface with. So things are changing in ways that I don't think the average person is even capable of understanding. But like the buildings that we're in, the clothes that we're wearing, the modes of transportation that we're using, that's all gone. That, 'cause that's all human thoughts and design and construct. So we don't see maybe some things that are left over from Atlantean culture as they've come through, like Egyptian culture and other ancient cultures, but we don't see Atlantis. And so what's going to be in the future is not going to see what we call cities and houses and things like this now. I know it's going to be more integrated with Mother Earth, because like I can see where our human intelligence and consciousness is headed.
Right.
It's remarkable. I mean, I can't remember. Do you have a pet?
I do.
So I was thinking about my chihuahuas. They're gone now. But this energy that existed between me and the dogs was so incredible. It wasn't, could never be the same as human, you know, communication, but it was a communication that was just as poignant and real and with the same effect any soul would have on another soul. I wanted to tell you this before we got together tonight. I was in this village where I live, and there's water and there's birds and fowl. And there was this one interesting looking animal. I don't know what it was. And with the long beak, and he had a mottled feathers, and he was all by himself. And I just immediately had this understanding of, and it was making the noises that this bird makes. And I could identify him. It was like, where are you guys? Where'd everybody go? Why am I all alone? So I approached this bird with that energy. I just sat down on the grass and started talking to it about that. And that bird stayed there like for 15 or 20 minutes, cocking its head, listening to me, until a lady came with a dog. And then when the dog came, the bird flew away. But up until then, I kept looking at the bird saying, aren't you going to leave? Aren't you going to, you know, and you don't have to, but you know, you can leave. And it understood everything I was saying, was cocking its head. It would turn its head towards me. And I was able to communicate with it. So we are in communication with everything, every cell, every galaxy. And we're starting to understand that. I'm starting to understand that, and I know other people are. And it's really a dramatic time in history. I think as we make this conscious evolution upgrade, that's what it's all about. And I think that you and I, when we talk about what's in the headlines and you know, what I talk about being pollution and things like that. This is what's going to be left behind. This is no longer needed anymore. And so it's garbage. It's compost. And this is a choice that is facing people right now, if they want their families to continue or they don't want their families to continue. But that's why it's all there to be understood. Well, Jesus told us what to do. It's not hard. Love your brother as yourself. Treat things with respect. There's so much in those teachings. When he went to heal people, he always said the same thing. Are you ready? And when you ask a person if they're ready, that's asking a person, are you willing to bring your energy, your frequency to meet this situation? And so we all have that opportunity right now. And we can see people that are exploring that opportunity and people that whose hearts are closed, you know, for the most part. The best way I can think about that in a positive light, Brooke, is someone, I think it was Bashar said a couple of times, he said, this is as dead as we're going to ever get. You know it as well as I do, Brooke, and probably from different ways. But when people have near-death experiences or go into the clear light, you're vibrating at a much higher frequency.
Yeah.
And you're fully conscious and full of love. So this is just condensing all of that energy into something that's much more limited for that, for us to have this experience. Yeah, there's no fear that we should have about things. It's enjoyable to see the positive side of things where people are returning back to Mother Earth. People are understanding that things have frequencies. Mm-hmm. That life only comes from life.
Yeah, absolutely. I love when you talk about it being on a cellular level, because that just reminds me of the power of our words, and that the power of life and death is in our tongues, and how it is so important, the things that we say, because they do carry that vibration, whether it be positive or negative, that we can have that effect on that energy around us.
Yeah, I had a lot of things that I'm talking about now, I'm able to talk about because they're in focus through all of the experience I've gone through and where we all are at right now. When this started my life, we didn't have any of this language. Just like I'm talking about, anyone born since 69 is born in the space age. We didn't ever sit around in the 50s, 40s talking about cosmic consciousness. And now that's totally for things to be understanding that we're part of cosmic consciousness. But when you talk about the low vibrations, I was a Cracker Barrel manager. I had about 6 years of corporate management, and the governor of Alabama stopped by the Cracker Barrel I was managing for dinner. And first his security people came in, then he came in. And at Cracker Barrel at that time, we used the kerosene lamps, and I could actually feel the energy and the lights dim when Guy Hunt walked in. So there are people that suck energy, and then there's people that radiate energy. Elvis Presley, when he was on his game, to me is just such an obvious example of charisma. And what we call charisma, that we feel when someone walks in a room that's full of that positive energy and it's radiating for them, that's our electromagnetic force field. And that can be increased by doing Kundalini yoga, by doing breathing exercises, chanting, praying to God. Probably any number of things can increase that energy. But yeah, there's people that for some reason are like vampires when it comes to energy. And there are a lot of people like that right now. Again, being 80 years old, we didn't sit around talking about zombies. And then at some time in the last 30 years or so, they start talking about zombies. And now there are a lot of zombies walking around for sure.
Yeah, those NPCs, so to speak. Bringing it back to numerology and just where the world is, do you have any predictions, or what is the numerology looking like for 2026?
Yeah, it's easily understood. I mean, everything's going to play out the way, you know, an individual's life is going to play out. But yeah, we're all part of a collective energy. This is a 9 year. And it's just, I know what nine energy is, and part of it is letting go of the past. Well, we're seeing that play out in some really unattractive ways, but that's what it is a demolishing.
So 2025 has the nine energy?
Uh-huh. Okay. So we've seen like our different departments, governmental departments. One I was just reading of today, it's called FEMA or Homeland Security. They're demolished right now. They're like a hurricane hit them. They've been just totally rendered ineffective, hardly or mostly. So it's been a year where on that extreme, but individually for all of us as individual human souls, it's about letting go of what people call epigenetics, ancestral patterns. I'm dealing with one, Brooke, myself, where I'm right next to Hippocrates. I listen to Brian Clement, the guy that runs Hippocrates. He's spot on, and I still can't stop eating pizza. You know, I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and what I should be letting go of. And it's going to have to happen eventually, where I let go of coffee, I let go of pizza, whatever it is. But that's what nine is. Next year is the 1 year, which everything's brand new, new beginnings, like what you and I can do, Brooke, in a positive way, can be some really new beginning of what's possible. So that's a 1 year. And then what's really worth considering, and I'll try to tie this together for us, 2027, that's an 11. And that's, like I said, the number for the new age. So I would say that the die is cast leading up to 2027. And that's what you and I and a lot of people are feeling. Yeah. So that's what the future looks like. Now, why does that matter? Yogi Bhajan, who was brilliant, and he was an incredible giant of a man. But he died, and I read online that someone had asked him, because he taught the Aquarian Age. That's where I get real fixated on, is that the people that were my major teachers and what a lot of us understood in the 60s, if you even look at Woodstock, it was called an Aquarian Festival. Nobody wants to talk about it. It's all that should be talked about. It's all that should be talked about. So, but anyway, they asked him, they said, well, Yogiji, when are things going to get better? Because he told us how shitty things were going to get way back in the early 80s. And he was telling us the way things are now. And we were like, especially for me, I'm like, this man's crazy. We'll never see things get that bad. I just thought he was being preposterous. But anyway, someone asked him, when are things going to get better? He said, by 2040. And I'm a numerologist, so I took 2012 from 2040, and I went, oh, that's basically a Saturn return. And that's a vibration, a cycle. And if you take that 28 years and you divide it in half, you're going to get 14 years. So that means that the energy is going uphill half of the cycle, like our lives, and then it's going downhill the other half of the cycle. So this period we're hitting at the end of 2026, 2027, that's the end of that first half of this cycle of this Saturn return. What does a Saturn return mean? It means, like, if you watch kids on a carousel or you look at a carousel, the carousel goes around one time. Like we're talking about the Earth going around the sun one time, or the sun going around the Milky Way, the galaxy, one time. So that's what these Saturn returns are on the human level. They're about every 28 years or so. And so that's going to be from 2012. And the midway point is what we're getting ready to hit. So things are really going to move rapidly towards the Aquarian Age. And at the same time, we're going to see the rapid destruction of the Piscean Age. And that's what, how that's going to look. I don't know. I don't even want to go to that movie. A lot of people I know decided to die before they had to go through this movie, but we're going to go through it, especially the young people, and they've got the energy to deal with it all. But that's what 2027 represents. So to me, it's kind of, not kind of, but we've had a window open from the 60s, and then it became really, I think, poignant around 2012. And people have felt it, and people are moving in one direction or they're stuck. And it's going to really hit a midpoint in 2027. So the things that we may not like about the old age, but we're using, like our banks, the food supply system, the electricity, there could be some real big changes that are going to affect us in a very short time. So let's use the time that we have now to position ourselves, knowing that that can be the reality. And so for a lot of people, that means like being preppers or survivalists or all that. I don't know if that's maybe that's a really accurate way of understanding things, but it's a limited way of understanding things. But we're going to have to go back to Mother Earth. That's where our food comes from. That's where the water comes from. That's where the beauty comes from, being on Earth, you know, being in the sunshine, being by the ocean. So we've gotten too lost in this artificial distraction, and it's gotten so out of balance that I think that it's forcing a lot of us to reconnect. And you told me that you do that. And when you told me, Brooke, that you do that almost monthly, I've shared that with so many women that I've done readings with. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, because you all are women. You are the feminine energy. I'm just old enough now to understand things a lot more clearly, but you don't have to, the feminine energy, and I have feminine energy in me too. We don't have to do nothing to, we're about love. That's the feminine energy is about love. And that's taking care and nurturing. So to reconnect with nature, going out in nature, going out to the ocean, going out camping or whatever, that's like somebody putting $1 million in your bank account. But instead of taking that $1 million and going out and jetting around town in your car and eating dinners and going out for entertainment, which just does nothing for us, you're actually reconnecting with that energy from nature that is priceless.
I really think that those moments of reconnection are so important. And I think it's important that people find what that is to them, whether it's sitting down with a good book, or for me, it's going out in nature and just immersing myself in that environment, or journaling or painting or gardening. I think it is so important that we reconnect with that. I think that humanity needs that.
Yeah, that goes into another truth about what's happening and what a lot of people are aware of, but not conscious of, if that makes sense, slavery. And that's what's happening right now. That's the overarching reality of what's happening. It could be put in spiritual language. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve truth and God and be a slave. And there's been, in our recorded history, a couple of major times when what I would call the one, and if you say God, then people think of some man yelling at people. But when this energy says, that's it. You've gone too far in this direction. Now you're going to head back in this other direction. And we have been slaves to a very low vibrational energy. If we're slaves to government, we're slaves to jobs. These are very low vibrations compared to like what you're talking about, nature and wind and air and fire and the universe. And so we're being told, if that's, you know, the right word, but we're being led to reconnect with reality and leave slavery. And there was the Exodus story, which is at the root of all Western religion, is the Exodus story, that we belong to God. And then there's the story of Jesus Christ, which Jesus said, You don't belong to anything but the God that's inside of you. You're free. The kingdom of heaven is within us. And then there was what I lived through in the 60s, which was the first generation. Nobody's really understood this, but that was the first generation in recorded history where not an individual, but a whole generation said, we're dropping out. And we're going to go in another direction. And that's what changed everything. That's what's, this has all been, all of that has been leading up to where we're at now. And where we're at now is a very loud voice saying, don't waste what God has given us on Doritos and corn dogs and polyester clothing.
Yeah, I was having a conversation about vibrations of that with a friend, and they were like, what? What do you mean that can throw off your endocrine system? And what are you talking about, that there's the neurotoxic plastics and stuff? And I was like, yeah, it's a real
thing. Of course,
so it's interesting that you bring that up, because when you go back to everything being on a cellular level, even from the food that we ingest to the clothes that we're wearing, we are constantly under attack.
That's right. Yeah, there's a natural frequency to things, and then there's disturbance. And the artificial clothing, artificial foods, all of that is artificial. Music, any of it is disturbing. And my wife's not here, and I'm glad of that, because she doesn't like to come out of the shadows, so to speak. But when I got with my current wife, she threw away all of my clothing and had me start wearing only organic natural fibers. And it was shocking. It's been a shocking evolution. But then 10 years later, I read that the garment industry is the third largest polluting industry. And I know from being a yogi, being around Yogi Bhajan, he told us only to wear cotton clothing and wool clothing and to do our yoga on either natural sheepskin or something that's natural. Yeah, everything going back to the 60s, everything has a vibration. Everything that's alive is vibrating, and it's vibrating a certain frequency. So we have a certain natural frequency, and we are of the earth. The frequency of things that are made out of oil, whether it's plastic or pharmaceutical drugs, pesticides, these are all killers. They're all killers. They do not give life. That's all people have to understand. You can show me where your polyester clothing gives life. It doesn't. It disturbs it and it shuts it down. Yeah, the way I met my wife 11 years ago was I had an essential oil business because one of my dogs almost got killed by a flea and tick pharmaceutical application shot. And I said, I'm not going to do that. So I found a flea and tick formula that was only essential oils, peppermint and clove oil. And I made it, and then I just took off with it, and I made 12 formulas to replace all chemicals. And so, like, for my mouth, I don't use any chemicals in my mouth, and I have no, infection in my mouth. I use essential oils. And when I met my wife, she was clearing up her, she was 23 when I met her, she was clearing up her skin condition with tea tree oil. So life comes from life. Life does not come from death. I can be real poignant about it and upset people, but it's just too apparent. 80% of people or more are still consuming, are carnivorous and consume flesh. If I shoot and kill something, there's absolutely no life left in it. There's no life going to come from it. It's the same thing we're talking about with the clothing. So that we know these things now. We're being forced to move in the right direction, those of us that want to move into the light. But it's a good thing. And it's going to bring back the Garden of Eden and a better way for humans to live on the planet. But yeah, things are just intolerable to Mother Nature right now and into the human body. Human longevity is on the decrease. in the richest, most prosperous country in the history of mankind. Right now in the United States, longevity is on the decrease. And that's because of all the poison and the toxins, and that we're doing it to our children. And the word for that is called filicide. And you'll never hear that word, Brooke. And we're supposed to go happy, happy along with it. And that's insane. It's totally insane. When I was coming back from doing a show last weekend in Sarasota, I guess it was. Was it Sarasota? Yeah. And I drive around, across the belly of Florida. I saw all these cars and police lights, and then all these cars in the middle of nowhere. You know, what the little town was it Belglade or somewhere around there? And I'm like, what? This is Sunday night. And I'm like, what in the hell is it? And I realized that it could have just been a county fair or a country western music concert, but people are going to flock to these things like Disneyland or whatever, eat a bunch of junk food, have artificial experiences, because that's how desperate that humans have become for real experiences and how lost we are just walking through the mall or going to one of these, you know, really low vibe events like that. So that's continuing fostering onto these, our children, not what they need, not what's going to help them survive into the future, but going back to Mother Earth, teaching people how to grow their own food, growing their own food, eating food that's from your garden, making your own sprouts, teaching this to children, getting them educated about the flora that's in their environment. Since you and I have talked, I've watched a couple of videos. I can't believe it, but I'm living in the Garden of Eden. We have a 12-month growing season here. What I've watched on some of these videos, the variety of food that can be grown here is mind-boggling. The quality of what that gives to us as humans, you know. And when I look around me, I'm in West Palm Beach, I don't see it. All I see is strip malls. Strip malls and poison sugar cane if I get out of West Palm. So that's what I'm talking about, is the whole freaking landscape is going to change. It's going to be like a bomb hit it. Let's hope a bomb, it's not going to take a bomb, but this is all going to be leveled. This is a movie set, and this movie set's going to be leveled, and something organic and beautiful is going to take its place. I've watched the whole progression. Before MTV and Real People, nobody watched nobody. We were just living, and then it became artificial. Oh, look, we're watching another person's relationship. What? Are you crazy? But anyway, then it's led up to people are more involved in artificial reality than in their own reality, which is really sad to see it happen. But the positive side of it, Brooke, is that we're becoming familiarized with the Akashic Records. The Akashic Records is the reality that we know everything. The fact that you and I are alive, we're connected to everything. Everything that ever has happened, will happen, is happening. So we can know everything. And so this artificial intelligence is a game. It's like training wheels on a bicycle so that humans will become comfortable with the fact that we can ask a question and get an answer. We can wonder about something and understand it. Like me talking to that, whatever that animal was. I want to say a duck. It wasn't a duck. I don't know what these things are here in Florida. They got like kind of hooked long little beaks, but they're not really big birds and they're cute. But yeah, we can communicate with the stars. We can communicate with bacteria. We're communicating with our bodies all the time. You know, that's going in another direction of talking about doing yoga. That's all you're doing is becoming conscious. That's what sadhana and all that is, are again, going in Mother Nature, you know, like you do, going out in the woods. All of a sudden, you become unconscious again for a minute of something.
Yeah. Now, for someone who's curious about numerology but is unsure where to start, what is the first thing that you recommend?
Well, I mean, I'm not shy about this, but I do recommend that people come to me for a chart, because you're going to get information about things, and any information is going to be helpful. I can probably right now give people the most comprehensive understanding of, and I was thinking about this the other day, of using this language, but it's almost like you're on a mission, and I can help people understand what their mission is. I don't want to trivialize it to that, where that can be misunderstood, but it is a profound thing too, because we also know from quantum physics that the universe wouldn't have existed without each one of us. Each one of us is totally necessary for the existence of the universe, and that's why we're here. So what is that mission that we're on, you know, as we are dealing with life and manifestation and this journey that we're on? And that can be revealed in the numerology. And so when a person knows, when a person knows their birth date, then that's like knowing that, oh, I'm adapted to being a carpenter. I'm adapted to being a philosopher. I'm adapted to being a fisherman. It'll help a person understand what their natural coherence is. And then with this chart that I've done, you can see the interaction of those different frequencies that start to form, because those are like pieces of a puzzle picture. And then you get to see the whole picture when you look at the birth path number and what's led up to that. Then you're looking at a complete picture of how a person came into this life, the beautiful energy they have to make something of their lives, and then the energy they have to bring their lives into focus in the wisdom years. And that's really, Brooke, especially talking to you as a woman, women are more powerful than men. Feminine energy is much more powerful than the masculine energy. And a woman in the third quarter of her life is the most powerful human in the human family. And that's a profound quarter of life. And then you hopefully have things in place to where you can fulfill your destiny as an elder.
Do you believe that our numbers are chosen before birth?
Yeah. I'm not surprised you asked that. That is one, that's like the chicken and the egg thing. Did we come before God, or did God come before us, kind of thing? It's like I said, the universe needed us, but we needed the universe, right, to be us. So do we slip in to a particular frequency as an individual soul, and there's a coherence there, you know? I think that's probably true. I think that's probably the most true. I've had 7 children. I've got a 10-year-old right now. And being as conscious as I was about getting ready to have a child and having this child at the age I was, I realized that this particular soul definitely chose me as a father and my wife as a mother and the particular time she was born.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. So yeah, that the numerology, I think, is very helpful for people to understand who they are, where they're going. Whether a person's going to choose love or fear, that's where there's no judgment coming from source. We can take this thing as far negative as we want. We can take it as far positive as we want. There's no judgment there. That's just reality. The reality is we've taken it about as far negative as we can take it right now. And so things are going back in another direction, just the way that nature works, which is really nice. From yoga, we understand, and physics understands the same thing, that energy moves in equal and opposite directions. So as rapidly as we can feel this energy going into the light and consciousness expanding and love expanding, there's an equal amount of dark energy that's trying to keep people in the dark. Yeah.
Now, where could a listener reach out to you for a chart?
The easiest way is probably Instagram. Just find me, Leon Bowski, on Instagram. And that's where I'm at Leon Bowski. And then once you send me a message, you know, we can go from there. I do a lot remotely now, which I always dreamed about doing because, you know, it gives me the freedom to just be at home or at the beach or whatever. It's exhausting, honestly, to do it that way. It really is. You don't get it that really positive feedback, same way as when you're doing it live with someone. So yeah, I did a couple of charts this week where the people and I aren't even talking to each other. I did it for someone's family. And then I sent them an audio recording of the reading. And then I sent them the hard copy of the charts. I can also do it with by a video call, or we can do a phone call like you and I are doing, and the person can record the phone call. There's all those different types of ways of doing it. Or if someone's actually in the area of West Palm Beach or one of the shows I go to, then we can set up a way to do it and live, which is really a nice way to do it. I'm also talking every 2 weeks at Hippocrates Health Institute, which is right next door. And I give a lecture, a talk on numerology, and then people will want their charts done afterwards. And that is open to the public if they want to come there and eat dinner and stay for the numerology lecture.
I definitely recommend reaching out. And you just have such a peaceful energy to you and such a calming energy. You're one of those people that you meet and you're a very genuine soul. And it was truly a pleasure to be connected. I don't believe in coincidences, and I'm sure that you don't either. So I'm so thankful that our paths were able to cross.
Yeah, thank you. That was really well put, Brooke. I had to do my own numerology and come to understand my own life because I aged to the point where you do reflect on a lot. And my birth path number is 11. And like I said, there is a lot of 11 energy as we go into Aquarian age. And part of that 11 energy is the universal messenger, the universal herald. So that's my purpose. The money comes if the money comes. The, success comes if the success comes. But I'm driven by my nature to help bring in the new age. And so this is the way that I'm able to do that. So that's why it comes across in a really pure way like that. It's for me, that's my intention, is for that to happen. Because as I've shared with you in this time we've spent together, I understand that we're going into the new age, the Aquarian age, and I understand what has taken us there. And I'm doing what I can to facilitate that in the best way that I can.
Thank you so much for joining me tonight and having this conversation with me. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I will be sure to put your links in the show notes so that way if anybody is looking for their chart to be read, that they know exactly where to find you.
This has been really peaceful. You understand clearly what I'm doing, which I appreciate, and I know the value of that. And yeah, there's a lot that we can talk about because you're helping in your way. You know, you're doing the same thing, and it's going to build this bridge to a better world that other people will be able to go across.
My conversation with Leon Bowski took us deep into the hidden architecture of the universe, from the shifting of those energies to the coming age of Aquarius and what the next few years may look like through the lens of numerology. If you would like to get a reading by Leon, I highly recommend reaching out. I will have his information in the show notes. So make sure you check it out. And thank you so much for listening and diving into these mysteries with me. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to follow Dark Florida wherever you listen to your podcast so you never miss an investigation, an interview, or a late night rabbit hole. If you have a story, Bigfoot, UFOs encounters, paranormal activity, synchronicities, or anything unexplained, I want to hear from you. And if you would like to be a guest on the show, reach out anytime at darkfloridapodcast@gmail.com. Stay connected with the show on Instagram at
Dark Florida Podcast. And if you'd like to support the work I'm doing in the field, you can visit buymeacoffee.com/darkflorida. And don't forget, full episodes, investigations, and upcoming videos are on the YouTube channel at youtube.com/@darkflorida411. This is Brooke Moreland, and you've been listening to Dark Florida, where the shadows hold stories and the truth is always stranger than you think. Until next time, stay curious and stay strange.